What is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to episode 2 of the pay-per-view point for this weekend's post-show content. We got Worlds Collide from NXT that just happened. The NXT and NXT UK brands have been officially merged together. We're going to give you a breakdown of what happened on these matches and our review and everything else that goes along with that. I am your host, as always, Tony Mango. Joining me, as always, is Callum Wiggins.
Let's go. Got a tight schedule to keep.
We do. It's 6:21 right now. Let's see how quickly we can get through this without it seeming a little bit too rushed. The 0 hour of the pre-show of All Out is got 4 matches on it, so that's essentially not a pre-show, but whatever. Let's see, we got Peter in the chat. We got Chris in the chat. What's up, guys? And, of course, if anybody else pops up in the chat, in the meantime, drop your comments. You got some super chat options. You got everything else that you can voice your opinion about. If you're listening to this afterward, drop your comments below on YouTube, or if you're listening elsewhere, then just shout it out in whatever fashion you can. As I always tell you guys, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. That's a great way for you to give your opinions. And there's also the page on smartcatmoment.com for you to leave a comment. Plenty of ways for you to talk about what your thoughts are. Generally speaking, Callum, what did you think about Worlds Collide?
Pretty good show. Probably no more, no less, I'd say, than that.
Were you able to watch the full thing, or did you kind of miss the beginning of it?
I had to catch up because I started later because I just wasn't available to watch from the get-go. But it's one of those instances where it's very fortunate that WWE just puts in a load of filler video packages in between everything. So yeah, I was able to catch all of it before the end of the show.
Well, for anybody who was tuning into the kickoff, had a good 13 minutes worth of confusion because the feed didn't work. They started off with this, those color bars that you get for like TV shows that are having that kind of error. And that turned into a black screen with like jumbled audio of just like some kind of Decepticon shit. And then, 10 straight minutes after that of coverage will begin. And on YouTube, they were just running the same Tyler Bate and Bron Breakker promo in repeat over and over, and that was getting exhausting listening to that. But nevertheless, they started midway through and it was just, carry on with the rest of it, let's not even acknowledge kind of thing. Nothing on the kickoff worth talking about. It literally was just a breakdown of the matches, so no problems there. But the North American title started things off. Carmelo Hayes retaining over Ricochet. Hell of a match. Very fun.
Yeah, I'd say it was one of the two best matches of the entire show. But yeah, very high octane pace, did a lot of really cool acrobatic, high flying moves. They really meshed well together, considering in fact this was the first time they were going up against each other. I didn't think Carmelo Hayes was overawed by Ricochet being obviously a lot more experienced and considered to be one of the most talented bell to bell performers going today. Mm-hmm. I think he kept pace with him very, very well, and yeah, it was an excellent way to open the show.
Yeah, they had a lot of frenetic offense between the two of them. That's expected. I mean, when you get Ricochet in the ring, he's going to bounce around. Hayes is able to do the same, so they had some moments here and there where there was like this cool spot where they collided midair, which I thought was really fun. And Wade Barrett had a great line for it. He said, "A midair dogfight where only gravity was the winner." I was like, oh, that's very poetic for this. And Trick Williams, of course, gets interference here and there throughout the match. He saves Carmelo from a pinfall, pulling his leg underneath the ropes and everything, and eventually flat out just holds the title and tries to blast Ricochet in the face with it. But that leads to a shooting star press attempt being rolled up, and Hayes ends up just barely being able to retain, essentially, with that little bit of that outside interference. So I would totally be down to see these two go at it again. It's one of those rare times where immediately after watching the match, I'm like, all right, I'm down for number 2.
Yeah, definitely. I think that it would only get better if these two get a bit more familiarity with each other in the ring. But I think this was a good blend of that very high-octane, high-flying offense, and they got physical with each other. You had some like big chops and big forearms, some slaps to the face, all this other stuff. So I think they really used Ricochet well to elevate Carmelo to a bit more of next level. And this will help ease the transition over to when Carmelo can move up to the main roster, because he's got a essentially a main roster scalp under his belt now, and they could really enter a feud with each other as and when Carmelo does move up. So yeah, I think that we will see this match again, but it won't be under NXT's auspices.
Yeah, I'm down for eventually, because we got to assume that Hayes is going to come up to the main roster within the next few months to the year. I'd be down for them just to start it up with a Ricochet feud. Just, hey, you know, we've fought before. We know we can put on a hell of a match. You two go out there and let's give Hayes somebody that we know he can work well with and kind of show off his skills. Because at this point, it's kind of looking like Hayes might not necessarily win the NXT championship in my mind. Might just be you've got a long enough reign with the North American title and then you can move up. I don't know if that'll be the case. I mean, we got to talk about unifications at this point, but I'm down to see it. That's for sure. So that was the first match of the card. Followed that up with a little backstage thing where in the parking lot, they had Roderick Strong laying down, covered in fake blood and, you know, being like knocked out and everything. No telling of who quote-unquote attacked him, but Ivy Nile leaves with him in the ambulance. Damon Kemp sticks around, and that leads to the fatal four-way for the NXT and NXT UK tag team titles. Another great match, back and forth. Not as good as the Ricochet match, but I think it was rock solid in its own right. Not too sure if I agree with the outcome of it.
Oh, I thought this match was a mess.
Really?
I thought it was like, yeah, they were just getting all over each other constantly. I think it was just when you had a Ricochet against Carmelo, the fact that it was one-on-one meant that you can go at frenetic pace and it still doesn't feel too overwhelming. I felt just all eight guys, and then you had two women outside the ring, you had Damon Kemp and everyone else getting involved with each other. It just was just way, way, way too much. And the finish was just a bunch of bullshit, really, as well. Just essentially, you have Brooks Jensen immediately eliminated, and then Gallus was soon eliminated, which was basically most of our predictions wiped out, because we all pretty much assumed that Gallus was going to win.
Kind of took the wind out of the sails a little bit for me, too, because I was like, well, at least if you go with Gallus in the final part, I can be invested in the idea of, okay, well, who's going to win? Is it going to be Gallus or Creeds? And it threw me off a little bit.
Yeah, and then when it gets into, like, it's pretty deadly versus Creed Brothers, well, that was the match that we saw where the Creed Brothers won the tag titles in the first place, so it's not like this is anything fresh or different for us. But and then it just all gets involved where the referee slides out of the ring to make a count at one point, then kicks out, and then he just gets caught up in a giant melee of Gallus and Briggs and Jensen all fighting on the outside, and just a melee with security. And this leads to the big wow shock factor moment, which is Damon Kemp turns on the Creed Brothers and presumably reveals himself as the guy that took out Roderick Strong in the first place. So I guess the story they're telling is that it wasn't actually Roderick Strong is the bad guy or the mole in Diamond Mine. It's actually Damon Kemp.
Which doesn't really make sense.
No, it doesn't. No, the story hasn't leaned into that whatsoever. I mean, they could tell the story of maybe, like, Roderick Strong was faking the injury or anything like that, and so it's actually just him and Kemp working together now, or just something along those lines. But I think it's just a swerve for the sake of the swerve, which, I mean, maybe they lean into it. I mean, I did think that they were gonna take the titles off the Creed so they can move into just the inner turmoil between Diamond Mine and make that the storyline, and so someone else could be the tag team champions for the meantime. Mm-hmm. I did not expect it to be Pretty Deadly.
Right.
I'm not entirely against it. Like, I like Pretty Deadly. I think they're a fun act, but I would have been more interested with Gallus because it's something different. But yeah, I thought overall this match was just a bit too much. And trying to cram too much stuff in the finish was just, like, really, really overbooked. So, yes, overall, I'd probably put it to a middling thumbs down, really.
Yeah, see, I like the idea of the titles changing hands in this match. But as we were talking about with the predictions and everything, I thought that Gallus was the smarter move since they are a little bit fresher. And right now it means that we got Pretty Deadly won those titles basically because they didn't quite want to go with the Creed Brothers right then. And then Creed Brothers won it back, and then it's just back to pretty deadly. So I looked at the roster that we got right now. I can't think of any babyface teams that make sense to beat pretty deadly, because Jensen and Briggs already had their feud with them. So it'd be just going back to that for the sake of it again. And they already were the tag team champions. So that's kind of just doubling up, repeating the same thing again. And then everybody else is a heel. It's the Dyad, it's Gallus, it's Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes. And there's no babyface team that makes any sense to me, unless you just start pairing off like Axiom and Fraser or Lee or Eve Sanga somebody, or nothing stands out to me. So I'm not quite sure Pretty Deadly is the best possible option that they could have gone with, but I like Pretty Deadly, so it's not like it's the end of the world or anything. The worlds collided, but they didn't end, I guess you could put it that way. But I don't really like how Kemp turned, because it doesn't make any sense at all that he tackles Kit Wilson and stops him from hitting Julius Creed with a chair, only to grab the chair and hit Julius Creed. It's like, why didn't you just let him hit Julius then?
It's just a swerve for the sake of a swerve. They need to have that moment so it resonates more with the crowd. So in that sense, it's like, from a character driven or just an overall trying to get the best reaction from the crowd, it makes sense. But from just a pure kayfabe, what would you actually do in this situation? It makes no sense whatsoever.
Right. So, I mean, if they go with Roderick Strong still being a heel afterward, then I guess it's Strong and Creed, and it was just like a fake out for the sake of a fake out. If they end up going with Strong not being a heel, then that'll be a real interesting wrinkle. But then I don't know what the end game is, because I don't think anybody's really going to care that much about Julius Creed versus Damon Kemp going forward. They do one match and then it's probably done, but whatever, we'll see. I guess we got to wait until it plays out. And after that, we had the first of two segments throughout the night of I Want to Recruit You, which was Tony D'Angelo and Channing Stax Lorenzo were having some coffee and some biscotti, and they asked Cameron Grimes if he wants to be part of the family. D'Angelo says that he fired Legado del Fantasma, which Grimes calls him out on it, and then Grimes turns him down. Not really too much going on here. Later on, it would end up being the Dyad trying to recruit Grayson Waller, and Waller talking to Mackenzie Mitchell about the idea that he had scratched the cornea of Apollo Crews, and his family was saying that they let the Grayson Waller name down, and the Waller family name is like taking a hit for it, but screw all them. He doesn't need friends or family. He just needs Grayson Waller effect. And it gets people on the card to pop up for a split thing, but neither of these really did anything for me. What about you?
Yeah, they're just things that happened, really. It's nothing. I mean, I do like the whole, everyone just seems to be trying to recruit Cameron Grimes at the moment. So it's just like he's the lost soul through NXT, and just people are just trying to take advantage of that. So at least that will lead to potential matches between Grimes and D'Angelo moving forward. And then you've got, I'm a big fan of Grayson Waller. I think he's doing a lot of stuff right. And again, maybe this is my bias, but it's like, he's like if The Miz was good. that's basically what I take with Grayson Waller.
I am leaning much more heavily towards him being the one that beats Braun Breaker now.
I would not be opposed to it. I think he's got a lot of charisma and he is very talented in the ring. But I do not, I think he needs to find something that he can do to finish a match outside of getting out of the ring to jump back into the ring to hit a stunner.
Yeah, he needs a new finisher for sure.
Yeah.
What was the next match? The Triple Threat Unification match for the NXT and the NXT UK Women's Championships. Not much support for Mako Satomura in the crowd. It was more so Let's Go Mandy and Davenport. And the one girl that was shrieking for Mandy Rose. I fucking hate it when that happens. This was a solid enough match, I think, overall, especially considering that it was one of the weaker in-ring matches for, some ways. But I liked it for the most part, and I don't disagree with the idea that Mandy Rose won. I still kind of have my reservations about who the next champion's going to be, because it seems like it's either Roxanne or Nikita, and neither are really ready, and Roxanne already had a couple title shots, so if they just come back around to that, I'm going to feel like that was a waste. But I don't think that Lions should win that belt anytime soon. And then that means that we're kind of keeping it on Mandy for another while. And I don't know. I mean, I would have been fine with Miko. I would have been fine with Davenport. But they seem to really be into this Mandy Rose thing. And maybe that's the best decision. Maybe not. I don't know. How do you feel about it?
I thought the match was better than I expected it to be. I think that obviously Mako and Blair, I know how good they can be, but I think Mandy stepped up really nicely in this match as well. I've always been very critical of her performances, and at the end of the day, she still was the weakest of the three performers, just bell to bell in this match. But I think that she stepped it up a bit, and I think she performed pretty well by her standards. I do have to say that you do have to question a little bit, like, I don't want to be like that guy, but you have to question how seriously she is taking the wrestling side of things, where basically after every move or every bump that she takes, she's adjusting her top.
So, I thought you were going to say, yeah. But you know, that's a wardrobe problem.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, wear something that actually covers you properly then. Like, I know that's the whole gimmick and stuff, but like, surely you can wear stuff which is, well, sexy essentially, and like presents yourself as like the attraction without essentially risk of suffering a wardrobe malfunction every single time you hit a move. So there must be a middle ground there that they can hit. But yeah, but overall they put a good match together. There were some decent spots, some decent like free way action in it. Mandy hits the running knee on both of them at the same time, knocks Samura out of the ring, and able to pin Blair. That's kind of the reason why maybe they put Blair Davenport in the match in the first place, is so Samura doesn't have to take a pin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she kind of steals a victory from Miko, and maybe they want to do Miko versus Mandy as like the follow-up for this in singles competition.
Yeah, so yeah, I was confident they were going to keep it on Mandy, just because it felt like a weird match for her to lose the title in after they've been keeping her as champion for over 300 days. So I think that when they do decide whoever it is will eventually take the title off her, whether it is Roxanne, whether it's Nikita, whether it's someone else entirely, that they decide like an Alba Fire or someone else, I think that they will want to do it one-on-one and try and build them up properly, because at the end of the day, Mandy Rose has been champion for longer than pretty much anyone who's held that title. Only Asuka and Shayna Baszler have held a single reign longer than this.
And so, she might end up surpassing them at this point.
Yeah.
How far off is she from beating those two?
She's about 200 days off of Asuka.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that probably isn't going to happen. Well, I don't know. I mean, you never really know what their plan is for this, but what about Baszler? You know, offhand?
She's closer to Baszler, but obviously Baszler has two reigns, so I can't remember offhand. I might just check quickly, but I think it's still about 100 odd days if you combine both reigns together. Let's see, NXT Women's Title reigns. So Baszler's the most. So Baszler's combined is 548 days over her two reigns. She's still actually behind Charlotte Flair at the moment on 321.
Oh, okay.
So she'll pass that. She's only got like a week plus before she passes Charlotte Flair, and then Asuka over her one reign is 522 days, so she's still got over 200 days to go before she beats Asuka for a single reign.
So the 100 days for Baszler, as Peter is saying it, Baszler's at 416 for the one thing. That's within reach. I think that could possibly happen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Again, as I say, we don't know who is being built up to take down Mandy at the moment, because it seems that Nikita is busy teaming with Zoe Stark and dealing with Kiana James right now. And Roxanne is still firmly focused on Cora Jade, so there really is nobody who is just firmly focused on Mandy Rose right now. So whether that is Mako and they give her the match for Halloween Havoc, whether it's Alba Fire, whether it's Wendy Chu, because she... obviously they have had that match already, but she did beat Tiffany Stratton in their feud, so maybe they'll just try and reward her with a title shot, or maybe they'll just do some big battle royal and just have some randomer win it.
Yeah, or it could even just be somebody from the main roster too, if they wanted to go that route again. I don't know who, but you know, maybe they just go like, all right, Dewdrop's here for good, and you know, whatever, or something.
Dana Brooke, yeah.
It could be Dana Brooke, yeah, at this point. But solid enough match. So
it definitely wasn't the worst match of the night. Next one is the worst match of the
night. Well, the women's tag team title was on the line next. Nikki A.S.H. apparently becoming the only woman to have challenged for all of the women's titles after this. That's kind of interesting. And they lost the match because of Toxic Attraction interfering.
Yeah, so again, it's the second tag match of the night, and it ends with some bullshit interference, which it's even more, I'd say it's even more, it's not actually as egregious as the other one, because essentially it was about 10 people fighting outside the ring and flooring the referee at the same time, and no action was taken. But you just have Gigi Dolan and JC Jane come out. The story they're telling is a simple enough one. The story they're telling is they want to be the ones to take the titles off Katana Chance and Katie Kanzara. That's what her name is now.
Katie Chance and Casey.
Yeah, and Kaden Carter. And so they're basically protecting them from losing the titles. They interfered to prevent Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley winning a match against them on NXT, and now they've done the same thing with Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. So essentially you're saying, we think that we can beat these teams because we've beaten them multiple times before when we were the champions and they were challenging us. So we're going to do everything in our power to keep the titles on them until we get our opportunity. So
you think they're going with a three-way, like Peter's suggesting in the live chat?
I don't care. Like, these titles shouldn't even exist. So
they really shouldn't.
Yeah. But I think they're just going straight down to the Casey versus Toxic Attraction one-on-one. I think this is it for Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. They'll go back up to the main roster. But I think that, again, even though I thought this was the weakest match on the card, it wasn't terrible by any stretch of the imagination. And a lot of that is due to Doudrop and Nikki being very, very good, very talented in the ring. I think that I'm not super impressed with Casey. I just think that they're like average at best, and they were carried for a lot of this match, and they end up getting the victory thanks to that interference, which was, again, it's just because why isn't the referee calling for the bell? Because even though it's that whole loophole thing of the fact that, oh, they didn't actually, none of them actually attacked Nikki just went out and attacked them, so the match shouldn't end. But it's just really a bullshit way of ending it, and it doesn't make both the champions look any stronger because they got help to win. Whether they wanted it or not is outside the question. They've had two real title defenses so far, or two or three title defenses so far, and they've had interference to win two of those. So right.
They don't look all that capable, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I'm sure it will end up leading to them being Toxic Attraction, and it all kind of all comes full circle. So if they do that, then fair enough. But yeah, I think it hampered the finish of this match.
Because I was thinking that, like, for a little while there, Toxic Attraction would have made sense to come up to the main roster, and that Mandy could lose her title here, then that can facilitate that. But at this point, Mandy's the champion, probably going to be the champion for at least another month or so. And then, you know, who knows how much longer after that. Doesn't seem like Gigi Dolan and JC Jane are going to pop up without Mandy Rose. So now I'm definitely kind of confused about what the end game is here. But, you know, it is what it is. And our main event was the NXT UK and NXT Championships being unified. Tyler Bate coming up short against Bron Breakker in a very good match, as we kind of expected, you know, here and there, based off of the way that mostly that Tyler Bates had his title defenses and everything. But Breakker able to score the victory with a spear after Bate bounced off the ropes and wasn't ready for that. And this is about as solid as you can get. Like, there's not too much specifically for me to talk about here. It's just they had a good back and forth and Breakker won. And I think that's the right decision.
Yeah, I thought the match was really, really good. I think that they did some... It was like back and forth pretty much for the entire match. You had Bate kind of out-wrestling him early on and doing more of the technical stuff, but then Bron using his power to take full advantage of it. But then, yeah, it was just then trading big moves for the majority of the match beyond that point. I liked the transition that they had for a while with Bron Breakker applying the Fujiwara armbar, so that was good. had Bates flying around the ring with his like diving clothesline and the airplane spin and just all the hits that he would use when pretty much wrestling his big matches. He pulled out every single thing, diving to the outside as well. Bron hit the power slam, but Bates got his foot on the ropes. So they've turned the story of, like, I think that was the first time someone has at least gotten out of being pinned after being hit by that move. And I really like the finish of, like, bouncing off the ropes again, trying to go for another one of those big clotheslines, and Bron essentially just ducking that and hitting the spear at the same time. Yeah, I just thought it was a really kind of impactful out-of-nowhere finish. And, yeah, so the match, really good. One of the best Bron Breakker matches so far. For Tyler Bate, it was kind of just another day at the office. Like, it's one of those things where Rob said on the Rob said in the chat, obviously can't be here to do this now, but said in the chat that he thinks it was the best Bron Breakker match by far. And it's certainly in the conversation. And whereas for Bate, he probably doesn't even crack the top 10 matches that he's had since being part of NXT UK and NXT. So, but still, really good. Good way to end the night. And yeah, Bron Breakker was almost assuredly going to remain the champion, and they showed respect at the end, hugged, raised each other's arms, and yeah, just he carries on being the babyface champion and the guy to beat.
Makes perfect sense. And that's your end of NXT UK at this point. NXT Europe, they still haven't said when that's going to happen. It's going to be sometime next year, most likely. So maybe they come back around to it. We got nothing but the NXT UK Heritage Cup announced on this show. So that's still kind of up in the air, whether that's just retired or if they're going to keep it or if they're going to merge it down the line or whatever. It's very kind of just, yeah, well, I guess we'll figure out a little bit more on NXT. Axiom against Fraser and, you know, whatever else they have planned for that. But that was Worlds Collide. Good show. Shorter show, which I think that that's good, especially because we know that coming up very, very soon is the All Out, which is going to take like absolutely forever. It's going to be 7 o'clock onward to, I don't know. JR is calling it a 5-hour show, so I guess that's till midnight. Okay. Hopefully that's just as good as the best matches that were on here, if not better. And for Chris in the chat who's wondering, what should he go back and watch? I would say go back and watch the Ricochet match for sure. Watch the main event. And if you got the time, watch the women's match. But definitely prioritize those other two.
Yeah, in order, Carmella Hayes and Ricochet will be viewing the most interest. Then it would be Bron and Tyler. And then, yeah, I'd say I'd say the women's triple threat. The tag matches you could probably... it's nothing that you need to go out of your way to see.
Yeah. If you got more than enough spare time, though, maybe watch the whole thing. I thought it was a solid enough, easy watch. So it's a thumbs up for me. And assuming probably a thumbs up all around. I haven't seen it really any criticism for it.
Yeah, it was a decent enough show. It's not like, it wasn't like blow away. I do have to say that it's amazing how just putting a roof on a building makes a crowd that's probably a tenth of the size, not even a tenth, like a tenth of a tenth, the size of the crowd at Clash of the Castle sound even louder and more enthusiastic about what they're watching.
So that is the end of that. Just to round things out, remember everybody, if you want to help support us in different fashions, you can of course hit the like button and subscribe and ring that notification bell. That way you'll also know when we go live for the post show coming up for All Out afterward in a few hours. You can also toss a little spare change our way through a different means, like the thanks button on YouTube. And there you got that join button that you can see as well. That's the same thing as the Patreon, patreon.com/smarkoutmoment. We get the Darkcast tier, the Pick Your Poison tier, and even just the $1 tier. That helps out great bit. You got Redbubble and TeePublic for merchandise. And of course, if you go to fanboysanonymous.com and amangotree.com and follow me at Tony Mango, then there's plenty of other kinds of things for you to help out with, even if it's just a like or a watch or, you know, whatever it might be. But if you're following me, you should follow what these other guys are up to as well. Rob, of course, is over there at Dude Felice. Shout out to all that stuff that's happening there. And follow Callum.
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at Wigmeister14. You can check out all the stuff that's going out on the Smart Cut Moment website. Power Rankings is my week-to-week contribution, but make sure you're dipping into all the other stuff there as well. And there is also the Fantasy League, both on SparkMMO website, and also if you just go to www.fantasyleague.com, you'll find all the latest standings, facts and figures, as of Clash of the Castle, with Tony winning the predictions contest for that. He has decided that he will be doubling up the points of Bobby Lashley up until Extreme Rules, which seems like a smart investment, considering in fact, he just doesn't lose at the moment. And that's a good way to rack up some easy points. Fortunately, the results of Worlds Collide have benefited me to a degree and helped me close the gap a little bit, especially having both members of Pretty Deadly, who won two sets of tag team titles tonight, so they get those bonuses. So
nice.
That's worked out well for me. But yeah, just keep following along with all the latest updates there, and that is everything from me until later on tonight, where you'll hear the same plugs again.
Yep, we got All Out starting in 8 minutes from here. So again, stay tuned later on, everybody, where we talk about all those matches that happened and all that stuff, and we will see you then. But for now, this has been another Smark Out moment, and we are being counted out.